This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Wing Guru sauce. If you haven't gotten a favorite yet, you're late. You need to hurry up and get over to the Wing Guru. And when you do, you tell Billy Richmond that Jason and John sent you.
So we are, of course, as many people know, in draft season. I mean, it's almost April, and that would mean the NFL draft is next month. And folks, I mean, we got to, you know, do I wish that we had Grizzlies to talk about here on the show? Credibly, I do. But, I mean, at some point in a man's life, he has to say, you know, we got to move on. Right? It is what it is. I mean, you guys can sweat out the Brandon Clark return and all that, and that's great, and hopefully he's awesome. But we're on to next season as far as that's concerned. And some of us here on the show have a lot of hope in the NFL draft. Some of us have the number one and number nine overall pick. Some of us have lots of motion that we can activate, and that's, of course, Jason, not me. I have the 13th pick because we just had to play hard for Antonio, didn't we?
It's okay, though. We ain't got Christian Wilkins. Y'all ain't just dead yet.
Yeah, we paid him $130 trillion.
You have a bridge quarterback in Minshew. Now let's just see who the young guy's going to be. It might end up being a Penix or something you can't get very excited about.
Yep.
Or maybe you make a push-up.
Now, Mike Tannenbaum is a former Jets general manager.
Yeah,
he does work at ESPN. Yes, and he now works at ESPN. We've had him on the show. He has a mock draft that, quite frankly, feels more like him using his imagination. But,
oh, wow.
I'll go through it anyway, and you'll see what I mean when I tell you. But let's just go through it here. Chicago Bears, number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. You ever heard of him?
Yep.
Drake May going number two to the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
Patriots going with Jaden Daniels at number three.
This isn't so strange at all so far.
Four, Arizona. Here comes the shakeup. J.J. McCarthy.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, despite the fact that Kyler Murray is there and locked into a big-time contract. Did you know that? So it's already gone off the rails. He's got the Arizona Cardinals taking J.J. McCarthy. You may say, well, what does that mean for Kyler Murray? Well, we'll get to that. Five is the offensive lineman for the Chargers. Six is Malik Nabers. That's the Giants.
Hey, which offensive lineman? Alt?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Titans taking J.C. Latham from Alabama. Latham, I should say. Atlanta taking Dallas Turner at eight from Alabama. Your Bears somehow selecting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Get out of here.
There's no way.
Never happen.
There's no way.
Drops to nine.
There's no way he'll be available at nine.
Now I see what you're saying about old Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Got a little crazy here.
And then the Vikings trade for Kyler Murray. They trade their third round pick and their number 11 pick overall to the Cardinals, and Vikings get Kyler Murray. So that's it. And they're going to use that pick on a DB from Toledo.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and usually I like Tannenbaum.
Broncos drafting Bo Nix. The Raiders draft the offensive lineman from Oregon State, and that's really the fireworks there. Does he have Penix going in the first round? Let me just check real quick. He does not have Penix going in the first round. So under 4.5 quarterbacks comes in in the first round. I don't think Penix is a first round guy to you.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think at this point.
The way this ends up.
Exactly. But,
well, let's start with number four.
Right.
The idea that Arizona's going to move off of Kyler Murray, be able to find a team that's going to be willing to take his monster contract, Minnesota Vikings, and then go a different direction. It's ridiculous. Why would Minnesota buy into that, John? You're already locked into the contract. You know that there's a, you know, you haven't developed him at all, but what you do know about him is he's had an issue with studying and everything else. It's had to be written into that contract. You're going to start with that? That's a problem right now on Arizona's books, frankly, if he doesn't pan out. There's a good chance he won't. And you're going to be willing to take on that problem rather than going and getting your own guy and then staying, you know, who would be on a rookie contract, oh, by the way, which still gives you a ton of flexibility. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard, that Minnesota would be that sold on Kyler Murray. You let Arizona deal with that problem.
Yeah. I just don't – I mean, it actually makes some sense, but
nah.
I don't think that's the quarterback you're going
to do that
for. It
makes more sense for the Vikings if you're doing a true – if you have to rebuild it now with Kirk going. It makes more sense to get your own guy who is on a rookie deal that you can then decide whether or not to pay the extension, whether or not you got your guy. You don't take the guy that's already got the extension in Kyler Murray and say this is and agree to pay it the rest of the way when there's questions on what kind of leader he is, what kind of winner he is.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense at all. No, Minnesota, that makes no sense.
Right.
You're better off going after one of these other quarterbacks, not named Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or Caleb Williams, and having him at least on a rookie deal. That would be fireable
mm-hmm.
to make a trade for Kyler Murray
yeah.
and lock that in like that.
Yeah, especially, you know, you've already had that. You've already dealt with that. So I'm just not I don't think any of this is rooted in reality. So, I mean, I do think McCarthy will absolutely go early. You know, I could see him going, you know, a team will trade up, right?
Well, it's Minnesota or you all
mm-hmm.
are a couple of the possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, like, the Giants trading out of six. Because, I mean, if Malik Nabers will be available, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think. So, I would definitely think they would be a candidate. The Jets would be a candidate at 10. I mean, your Bears at 9, I think, would be a candidate to move back.
Then we did last year.
Yeah.
Only one spot, but move back.
So,
Philly to come up.
I mean, I just, you know, but the Chargers at 5, that may be the one, you know. There's a lot of teams here that could... You know,
well,
in theory.
I think the Chargers at 5 are the key one. That's the one. Because Arizona is not. They're not going to find a partner that's willing to take Kyler Murray. So they're going to have to do what you got to do. You're stuck with him, so go get him the weapon, Marvin Harrison, and you open it up for that 5 pick, the Chargers, who do not need a quarterback. They've got their quarterback. And they're going to be open to offers
exactly.
to come up and get J.J. McCarthy.
That's what happens.
And that's where J.J. should go is 5. Arizona's going to be locked into taking Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. If Arizona decides to trade back, there's no guarantee they get Marvin Harrison Jr. where they trade back to.
Correct.
And so that's why they end up staying at 4. And they've said, we're open for business, but we're really not. They've sort of stated that publicly. 5 is going to be where your action is.
Yep.
But that's the spot there. Can you trade up to 5? You know, with your charge. Minnesota's got a couple of first-rounders now. They're the team you got to watch out for.
Right.
In my eyes.
Yeah. And I just feel like when you have a run on QBs, it just lends itself to being an active market. Right? Like, that's just typically what happens. Teams are going to get antsy. And, look, I could also see, you know, if there is a run on quarterback. But I guess, though, if there are concerns about his health and age and all that, Penix, just even if there are 4 gone, people are just not going to. They're not going to move up to draft Michael Penix. They'll wait. They'll see how far he drops. But I definitely don't like Will Levis was not a guy that people expected to drop last year.
Right.
I mean, they were supposed to be. It was supposed to kind of look like this. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think every quarterback is going to go where they're slotted to go. Basically, where again, I don't think it'll be 4.
Did he have Nixon there in the first round?
Yeah, he had him at
okay
going to the Broncos.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that will it, that 4 will go in the top. At least 3 will go in the top 12. I don't know if Knicks will go in the top 12.
No, but, four will go in the top 12, including McCarthy. If you're adding McCarthy, McCarthy's right, going yeah, in the yeah. top 12. Four will go in the basically the top five.
Oh,
top
got, six. He does have five. My bad. Over a 4.5 would come in. My bad. I said under. That's five. I don't think five will go in the top 12. That would surprise me.
Right.
That would really.
That would require
me.
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
To come up.
But I guess five will go in the first round. Yeah, Bo Nix would be a first round pick, and I it kind of feels like a Raiderish pick, and I'm not really a fan of it. Right. Like, he's not – I've never looked at him. I see great college quarterback, great scheme quarterback. I don't see NFL QB. I don't – that's not what I've ever felt with him. And I don't – I mean, look, I don't feel that with J.J. McCarthy, but I reserve the right to be wrong. It just concerns me that he was in such a run-first offense and, like, he never really had to do anything else. That concerns me. I love Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams has all the natural talent in the world. I don't have much of an opinion about Drake May. Like, I've just never really been blown away he's just whatever. He's fine. He's been good for his whole career, basically. But he doesn't jump off the page to me.
The Josh Allen's presence and domination of the league is helping Drake May a ton. We'll see if he looks like Josh Allen once he gets there.
Right.
But that's who people see.
Yeah. I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be – it's just going to be about the habits. Like, if he comes in and he's ready to work and he's got that leadership quality, I mean, to me, there's very little doubt about his.
Well, my point is going to be hard not to do that when you've got a locker room full of veterans, especially at the receiver position, who are expecting, not just you to come and do that, to put in all the work, but they're expecting greatness from you. It's one thing if you're Kyler Murray and you go to a situation like Arizona where you don't have anything, you're the best thing in the room. Right, it's another thing when you go into an established locker room that's now, oh, by the way, got DeAndre Swift in the backfield too. These veterans are going to be if you're holding up the line because you don't want to put the work in or you don't want to study. That'll be apparent very early, and he'll be catching it early. Like I said, usually when you've got those vets around, what does that do? That spurs that guy to come on with it, bring it on. I mean, you're not going into what appears to be a losing situation. You're going into what some are calling the best situation in the last 30 years for a number one quarterback in terms of the offense that he's going into. And so I just there's too much good on that offense to allow him to be a slacker is what it feels like. The challenge to you is going to be to match that, to satisfy DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Those guys are pros. And so you go in there half-stepping, you'll get in terms of the impression that you make on those guys, I mean, it'll be evident early if you're not. And I don't think he's that kind of competitor. I think that dude is a competitor. And he'll get in that room with those vets, and he'll want to be great for them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely that's how it feels right now. I mean, and again, talking about insulation, that's where you're at. Now, on to other matters, college basketball. Sounds like a Patino may be the next head coach of the Louisville Cardinals. Richard Pitino has emerged, according to Jody Demling, who is, I believe, up there in Louisville. He has emerged as a top candidate for the job. You may know Richard Pitino as the son of Rick Pitino, and he just finished his third season at New Mexico. They were 26-10. They won the Mountain West Conference Tournament, played here in Memphis. Rick Pitino was here in Memphis. Did not show well at all. They were 2.5-point favorites, but got absolutely destroyed by Clemson. I feel like Dusty May takes Michigan, then your candidate list starts to be like Josh Church from Indiana State, Pat Kelsey from Charleston, Shaheen Holloway from Seton Hall. I kind of feel like all these guys are sort of the same, right? Like, they're up-and-comers. They haven't really proven a whole lot at their jobs. The guy I would feel the least good about would be the Indiana State coach. Could be wrong on that. Could be totally wrong on that. But he would be the guy I feel the least confident in. I don't know if Shaheen's a fit. I just don't know if he's a fit for that Louisville market. Richard Pitino probably makes the most sense, I would say. He's got good players to New Mexico. He's been around a passionate fan base. His dad was the freaking coach, so he'll be accepted. I think that's probably the way they need to go, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought Richard's solid coach. It doesn't blow you away or anything, but, had a couple of good years at Minnesota. That was a tough gig. There's no question about it, but he pulled a couple of good years out of it, made the tournament out of there a couple of times. I don't know. I mean, it's the whole how do you feel about the Pitino family as it relates to, because inevitably that story is part of it. like your dad's story is a part of that thing with the way that ended. You know, I realize Richard didn't have anything to do with that. He's his father's son, but that name
right.
being back over the program with everything that it's been through as a result of his father's decisions, still a little strange to the storyline there. And so, you know, where does that come up? Well, initially when you're hired, and I suppose you win and all that, it kind of goes away, melts away. But it's a little strange just knowing what we did about Rick, about his father's time, knowing what we know now about his father's time at Louisville. From a basketball perspective, it makes a lot of sense.
Does, right.
And in terms of what else is out there, who's proven at this point and who's not. I mean, yeah, I could see Richard Pitino doing a decent job at Louisville, but I still have a little bit of issue with the family name thing. Again, that's sort of out of his control as the son, but it was, what are we talking about here? It was mayhem when his dad was the coach, from what we know now.
It was, but he was good. You know, he did deliver a championship. So it's like, you know, again, you're not getting your dad, or his dad. So, but, you know, what the hell they got to lose at this point? I mean, they've been so damn
bad. So far down now that
they
may be past the point of worrying about narratives.
I mean, I feel like Shaheen is like a fish out of water there. I don't think that works. Schertz is at Indiana State. Do I want to take a gamble on him? Not really. Kelsey is at Charleston. Do I want to gamble on him? Not really. I mean, he's done a good job at Charleston. Don't get me wrong. He's been to two straight NCAA tournaments. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's just a big step. I know at least a Pitino, worst case scenario, his dad will, you know, help him in some way, shape, or form. So I think that's probably the direction. If you can't get Dusty May, that's probably the direction I would go. And, you know, live with the results, honestly.
I don't think I want Rick, you know, not directly helping.
No, not like that.
Richard to fix the Louisville program.
Yeah, but, I mean, I need somebody to do it. Somebody's got to fix this damn thing. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, it used to be, you know, a proud program, and it's so down in the dumps now. It's like
the title's also vacated.
It is. I wish we had a vacated title in Memphis. I'd take that right now. I mean, you can vacate it. You can placate it. You can decorate it.
96 was a real one. That 1-13 is vacated, bro. They have a real one. Memphis doesn't have it. That's why you're so willing to take a vacated.
Yes.
They got a real one, though, from 96.
Man, I would take a vacated title so fast, bro. I mean, damn. The memories. Just the fun. I mean, yeah, it's a little embarrassing at the end of it, but I mean, you can't tell them folks they don't have two championships. You know what
I'm
saying?
No, let's just try to run a clean program, man, and not have vacated titles.
Well, we got a vacated Final Four. We still claim that thing, though, don't we? We got to. We need three.
You didn't win. There ain't nothing to claim.
We got to claim the Final Four. We got the Final Four banner hanging.
Here.
I know.
At 92.9.
We claim it. That's what I'm saying. We claim that Final Four, man. It happened. Hashtag, it happened. You know?
No, well, again, it's a different, a little bit different cases, too, in terms of the mayhem that was going on at Louisville at the time. And
how the NCAA
did Memphis coming back.
Right.
With the clearinghouse sale. Oh, no. After you cleared him. A little bit different set of circumstances as well.
Yes. No, I mean, it was definitely, like, what happened with Memphis is ridiculous compared to, I mean,
strippers and everything else on all that
just
stuff.
Complete chaos. Complete, I mean, hellions, heathens, you know, harlots running around.
Debauchery.
You would walk into Louisville practice facility, and there would be a stripper in the on the practice court twerking every day. I mean, it was they had run amok. I can't believe anybody would ever send their kid there. No, I'm serious. They had installed right there on the side of the practice court, they had installed a stage. And they had the Debo. He would announce, "Now coming to the stage, chocolate." Like that was the Louisville basketball program. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It had gone way out of control compared to what was happening at Memphis.
Sex for pay.
Right. This was Louisville.
This is the practice.
But Jason said they can't have the championship. So who is
champ? Vacated?
Who's the champ? There's
nobody that year.
Who'd they beat? Michigan? Who was it?
I don't. No, 13.
I don't. The Dick Pitino thing is a little strange, bro. Sorry.
It is. That's not strange. I mean, it's like,
man, if you start losing with him, it'll get real bad.
Right, just fire him. Just like you fired his dad. I mean, you just, it's a family tradition
at
this point.
You know, the first thing that came to my mind was former Arkansas coach coming back to be their offensive coordinator. That was kind of the vibe I thought of, you know?
Yeah, but this is his, in fairness, I mean, y'all got to stop associating him with his dad. And that, I mean, you said it. It ain't him. He wasn't on the staff.
He wasn't in that Italian restaurant.
Well, I can associate you with when you're coming to the program that your dad was at and ruined.
Well, I mean, look. Well, I mean, do you think Louisville fans...
I mean, again, a different school. Okay, we get it. Yeah, you're the coach of Minnesota. You coach of New Mexico. Let's not talk about what your dad did at Louisville. But now you're coming back to Louisville. I mean, the place was on fire. The first time the NCAA vacated a men's basketball title.
Yes.
Louisville. Your dad.
Yes.
You can't not talk about it.
Right. I just don't think necessarily that Louisville fans believe Pitino ruined the program, right? I don't think there's like that. You may think that, but I think they're like...
They don't have the same, the NCAA had it out for us that Memphis can claim on Derrick
Rose.
Well,
I agree with that.
With the clearinghouse and everything
else.
It's not the same.
No, they were running a
that thing was a mess. Yes.
This was not, you know... But they did...
No, you're right. They probably don't feel...
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the way they feel about Rick, it's probably not the same what we're saying, but... I mean, what? It's just not even that. It's the restaurant and everything. What are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm. The restaurant is personal, man. That's personal business. That's bad judgment.
Personal to you, it got out. It became public business.
Yeah, that's true. And that's not how a head coach of an esteemed university should be carrying himself. I completely agree with that. But, I think most people would still say, A, that they believe that 2013 is a real championship, even if you vacated it. And B, they would love to have any Pitino back as a head coach over the available candidates. I think that's the key. Not over Dusty May.
Why not make a run at Chris Beard?
I don't know.
I'd do that before I go for Richard Pitino.
I don't know.
I'd see. I'd pull Chris Beard out of Ole Miss. What's he so tied to at Ole Miss? If I'm Louisville and I want to get my program back on top and make it a national contender, Ole Miss has already dealt with the, you're bringing him back when he's got this off. They've already knocked that out. Mm-hmm. So now I'm second to the Chris Beard party. I don't have to deal with as much in terms of that. Probably next to nothing, especially compared to what Pitino did.
Right.
And so, again, I'd be trying Chris Beard, get him out, pull him out of Oxford before I'd be going Richard Pitino.
Yeah.
Just because we think he's a solid coach. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he's the son of a great one who messed this thing up.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, call Chris Beard. You agree with that?
I mean,
why would Chris Beard be so tied to Ole Miss?
He hasn't been mentioned, so I don't know like what the deal is. You know, I think that's the hangups. I don't know.
I don't know what the contract situation is. What it would cost to pull Chris Beard out of there. But Louisville got it. They have it.
Right.
And there's a guy you could sell as, okay, well, we know where he had Texas,
mm-hmm.
you know, before that thing went off.
Right.
So I'd just be looking at that before I would Richard. There may be some candidates out there that still make some sense.
We'll come back. Nick Friedell's going to join us, talk to him about the NBA, the Grizzlies, playoffs, lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time, as always.
Guys, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, look, we're kind of counting down the Memphis Grizzlies season here. You know, like Shawshank Redemption, right? We got the days and the games left on the wall. And that's really kind of where we're at. We'll just move on to next season. But it is going to be a pivotal offseason. It sort of feels like that Warriors offseason where they had this great core for circumstances mostly out of their control, some in but some out. They got a chance at a number two pick. We'll see where the Grizzlies wind up. But if you get it right, maybe you can extend your window here and raise your ceiling. What do you just make of the Grizzlies and where they are in their trajectory and where this is headed?
I still believe that better days are ahead for that group. I know there are a lot of question marks. And hell, as you mentioned, the Warriors, I covered that team. I was there in that moment where they were like, all right, where do we go? And I think it's a really interesting juxtaposition because if you hit right in the draft, then you're setting yourself up for years to come. But guys, if you hit wrong, and the Warriors hit very, very wrong with Wiseman, it's of course somebody that everybody down there is familiar with. I know he only played a couple games in Memphis, but people knew his story and the background, and everybody thought, I remember talking to Penny Hardaway the day of the draft, that he would get to the right place and his game would evolve and he'd be great. And sadly, it hadn't happened. When you hit correctly in the draft, everything looks a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot quicker. When you don't, it sets your organization back for years. And if people are wondering, well, how did the Warriors get to where they're at now and what went down, you look back on that Wiseman pick, it was just awful. They're not the first team to mess up in the draft with a high pick, and they're certainly not going to be the last. But when you're talking about the Grizzlies and you're trying to figure out, all right, what do they do next year moving ahead? You get Ja back. Hopefully he can stay healthy. He can stay on the floor and produce at that same high level. If you hit the pick, well, everything's probably going to be great, and you can keep the core that you've got in place and keep rolling. If you don't, well, then all the good feelings that so many had around the league about that team the last few years, they're gone. So in so many ways, I think it's a great comparison. I know the Warriors had that success and won that bonus title a couple of years ago, but that was because Steph Curry is Steph Curry, and he's still incredible. Ja maybe could have started to push towards that level. We know the reasons why that didn't happen. But if you get that pick right, you reset yourself with Ja, and you look really good moving ahead.
Well, and for the most part, this Grizzlies front office has done a heck of a job in terms of with its picks. I mean, here lately, you got G.G. Jackson, second-round guy, looking pretty phenomenal, like a guy who could have gone much earlier if he hadn't had the off-court stuff. Vince Williams Jr. is looking like a hit. But to go back to the Golden State scenario, I wonder too, Nick, because yeah, James Wiseman was a bad pick. You make the point that core wins a title. I wonder, for those reasons, it sort of formed our thinking here in terms of scenarios. For that reason, do you think about trading the pick, using the pick to help you acquire another veteran? Because while the Grizzlies are young, there is a timeline here in the sense that you only got Jaren Jackson, at least right now, signed up for the next two. And so you'll have Bane, you'll have Ja, they're all paid, they got their big deals, and you need to win right now. So I wonder, to that point, do you like your core enough that you use that pick instead of going to get some rookie that might help you down the road but may not help you right now? Do you use that pick and trade it and look at yourself as more of a veteran team that needs to, okay, let's try to get it here in the next 2 years while we've got Jaren Jackson signed up?
To me, the answer is yes. Uh-huh. And I think it's a terrific discussion point because, again, and that's, guys, it's funny to me, frankly, because there was so much hype around the Grizzlies and the Warriors, and they've gone two different directions.
That's right.
Again, we know why and we know what's occurred, but if the Warriors had traded that pick for more veteran help or for somebody who was a little bit older going into maybe the prime of their career. Maybe their story right now is different.
You're right.
Because they don't have that hole that they have on the roster. I mean, let's be real. Wiseman, or whomever that pick was supposed to be, or who it, whoever had come in, was supposed to be the bridge between the Steph era with Draymond and Clay, yep, and the next era of the next great Warriors team. And it didn't happen. And that's not just on Wiseman. I mean, the coaching staff didn't find a way to develop him the right way. Right. He got hurt. There are a lot of factors. But if you're the Grizzlies, and I think the point about their front office and the moves they've made is very well taken, you have continually hit on the right pieces through time. And Gigi Jackson's a perfect example right now. I mean, a second-round pick who's putting up those kind of numbers, even in this situation that they're in right now,
yep,
it makes a lot of sense. But if you're looking a few months down the line and you're saying, all right, we still believe in this core, Ja's coming back, we believe that he's in a much better place, and we think we can win now, absolutely that has to be on the table. And guys, frankly, it's got to be on the table because of what's happened with the Warriors. I mean, you've got to look at that and say, do we believe that this young player, whomever it may be, can help us right now and we can wait to develop him within the core that we have in place? Or do we think that there's a veteran out there or maybe a younger guy, 24, 25, mm-hmm, somewhere in that range, who can come in and take us to a different point? So those two teams are always interconnected these last few seasons, and I think what we have described and outlined here is just another reason why what worked or didn't for Golden State may factor in a large way to whatever happens to Memphis and what they decide.
Yeah, and you know, Nick, we talked about that at the time, and not that we're just going to talk Grizzlies all day today, but you know, I do think it is a crossroads for that franchise as they figure out what they need to do. Like, there's no question that James Wiseman just isn't a good NBA player. Like, he's had all the opportunity in the world, but he was clearly doomed from the beginning in that franchise, clearly, because Steve Kerr and that organization were used to a certain type of player because they had gotten used to winning championships and contending every single year and doing it with old players. Like, there weren't really any young guys coming up. It was Steph and Clay and Draymond the way it's Steph, Clay, and Draymond now. You're incorporating a little Kuminga more than usual, but it's still sort of the same group today that it was, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I think, in terms of historical contextual situations, how many franchises have been able to just add amongst a core of 25, 26-year-olds, a 19-year-old, in a draft, by the way, that feels very meh, you know, a lot of overseas prospects. How many times has that actually happened and it's gone over? I guess Jordan Poole, right? But he wasn't a pick like in the top five, top six. There are a lot more expectations that come with that. So I just feel like historically, you're just better off, you know, mortgaging that and giving it to somebody else and taking somebody. Because Nick, I think the Grizzlies are in a win-now situation. Like, you're in a small market. You can't assume anything. You can't assume anything at all about the status of Jaren Jackson Jr. You can't really depend on Ja right now. He's got to show that. So right. I think you have to attack it like, I need a 27-year-old who's going to come in and contribute for me right now, and I don't have time to wait.
I think that is a very good way of putting the context together. And I'd add this, guys, and I know that it's been hit on in the past, but even as we're having this conversation, I remember sitting in that visitors' press conference room at the beginning of last season, listening to Kevin Durant say, when he was still on the Nets, say, Ja Morant is the next face of the league. He is the guy. I remember sitting there, and there were some members of the local Memphis media, and everybody's kind of like, oh, I mean, it's one thing to hear that over and over on all these different shows, and Ja's the guy, and he can make it all happen. Kevin Durant sitting there telling you, I believe that this is the dude. And it goes to show you as a reminder just how quickly things can change in the NBA, whether it's injury, whether it's stuff that happens off the floor. It can happen in the blink of an eye. And again, to use the Warriors' perspective that we're using right now, the Warriors had won. I mean, they had reached the top. You knew what you were getting in Steph, Clay, Draymond. You knew that that was the core. When you have a team like Memphis who hasn't been able to get there, even though the expectations were so high, it's just another reminder of how fleeting everything can be in the NBA when you don't get the right breaks. So, all that being said, this is where you have to trust your front office completely. And Memphis has shown time and again that they have hit on the right pieces dating back the last few years. But when you have to win right away, and I think the small market argument is important here, when you have to win in a market that may not be able to spend the way that some of these other places do year after year after year, that has to be part of the calculus as to whether or not you think that an 18 or 19-year-old is going to help you do that right away for a team that still believes that it can contend in a major way in the West.
Nick, where are you at on Boston? Are they ready this time if you catch in? And Denver certainly looks like they're ready to be back there and do their part in terms of winning the Western Conference, making a run through the playoffs. Is it different this time for Boston? Do you see a difference with them, or in the end, do you think it'll be Denver again if that's the matchup?
I think it's Denver.
It's looking like it. I'm with you.
I think they are a cut above everybody else, guys. I covered that Heat-Nuggets series in the finals, and I would tell you that while people who follow the league certainly know how good Jokic is, I don't think there's a full appreciation for just how dominant that guy is night after night after night still. And I think part of that is because Denver is not one of the sexy NBA teams that people follow. I mean, hell, there are people in Denver that still can't see the games and aren't following it the same way. I mean, doesn't feel like a fan base in comparison to Memphis that people are into day-to-day the same way. But that guy is incredible. The question with Boston is always going to be, all right, is Tatum ready to take over? Can he finally step up the level of his own game where he can carry a team not only through the playoffs and win a couple rounds, but into the finals and get them across? He hasn't shown it to this point. Jokic has. If it's me right now, I am not betting against the Denver Nuggets.
And then what becomes of the Lakers, who certainly look like they're, I don't want to say locked, Nick, but there's a little space, 2.5 games between them and Phoenix for that 8 spot, and then 2.5 games between them or Golden State. Who knows? Maybe Houston makes the push up. What are the Lakers looking like in this postseason?
That is a team that always is going to have the hype, and there's always going to be intrigue, but it's not warranted because this is not a team that is capable of winning a title. And I know there's always going to be focus on LeBron, and it's a different level of focus than anyone else in the league, but I just don't see them having the ability to do certainly what they did last year in the playoffs. I think this is a team that is too old at the top. They have too many pieces that just don't fit exactly the way they need to. We'll see what happens with Darvin Ham in the future here, but I am not a believer in the Lakers at all. LeBron is not at the stage of his career where he can turn it on game after game after game the way he'd need to carry that group. The Lakers are not going anywhere long-term in the next couple months.
Hey, Nick, great stuff as always, man. Look forward to doing this every week throughout the NBA season, man. Appreciate you.
Guys, I really enjoyed the conversation. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Yep, sounds great. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating. There you go. Appreciate Nick for joining us on the show. We'll come back, wrap it up here on a Tuesday. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Femius.
Welcome home.
the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. That's what they're going to tell you. They're going to take care of you. You're in good hands with the Live Love Group. Because especially when you're selling your house, you got to list it. And let me just break this down for those of you who have never had to do it. I've had to do it. Jason's had to do it. Selling a home, a lot more complicated than buying one. You know what I'm saying? And you need some expertise in making sure a couple things happen. That your home looks good, that it's featured well, that it's priced correctly, that you can get more money for it. That's where the Live Love team comes in. They're going to look at all the comps. They're going to know what you can and can't get. And they're going to probably still exceed your expectations, which should be high because it's a Live Love group, but they're going to find a way to exceed. So make sure you do one thing. You reach out to them. Email them, sold@livelovememphis.com.
It's funny, I was driving past my old home in Raleigh the other day, the home that Jennifer Carstensen sold for me about 5.5 years ago. And as we drove by, I told my son, cannot believe how much Jennifer Carstensen got for that house. Because once again, it wasn't in great shape.
Right.
Telling you that. And that's the thing. When Jennifer Carstensen told me what we were going to get for it, I didn't believe her. So happy I made that call because she was a woman of her word, and that's what she's going to do for you is make sure you get every last dollar for that home. She's going to maximize your value in a way that you probably can't even imagine. So make the call, 901-625-5200. She's great at what she does. She wants to help Memphians. So call her, 625-5200. But if you're in Nashville these days,
yep,
because they have expanded that business, she can take care of you up there as well. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
You caught your QB1 at the USC game, right?
Hmm?
Your QB1?
What about my QB1?
He was at the USC game.
No, I didn't catch him there.
He was there.
I watched like the first quarter and a half of that game. So Juju had it under control, and I moved off. But it allowed me to book in two stars, you know,
yeah.
Caitlin and the one. Did you see Wren?
Did not see Wren.
I'm pretty sure I saw him sitting there in the right next to the bench.
Yeah. So Caleb Williams is catching a little bit of I don't know what it is.
What did
he do?
What did he do with the game?
He was there. He was vibing, but he had a pink phone and pink fingernails, and so people were kind of pointing out, you know, just very pink, very Barbie themed, appearance for
y'all. Gonna get off my boy,
but I guarantee you, if he was a Raider, we would hear no shortage of jokes about that.
That
but,
was for the women's tournament.
Yes, it was for the women's.
That's
tournament.
Why he did that.
Jack McGuire of Barstool said, "Pink phone is crazy." Not gonna lie, Caleb Williams said, "Your profile pic is crazy." Not gonna lie. So he's got a little spunk to him, a little sass, apparently. He's a little sassy.
Oh, you think you're funny.
But no, I'm just saying he's a little, zesty, if
Dude,
you will.
I don't call him if he cares to come to training camp with some tight Barbie pants somehow.
Oh, clearly not.
I don't care. As long as he's throwing that ball to Keenan and to DJ.
That's right.
That's all I care about.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, that's right.
I don't
right.
care what color the nails are
yeah.
or the underwear or panties.
Distraction.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't care how he gets down.
Okay. No, I think
as long as he's taking care of business on that field.
This is a hellacious way wow. to end the show today. But to each his own.
Yeah.
Except, I don't know. I don't care.
The Chicago Bears.
I blame you because you started this whole Caleb Williams paints his fingernails thing. I figure like it started here and emanated out of Memphis first.
Yeah.
And then everybody else has jumped on.
Jared McCain paints his nails. Hey, you know what I'm saying? If my daughter came to me and she asked me to paint my nails, I would say, let's go. Okay? Would I do it on my own? I would probably not do that.
Again, you might do the clear coat.
I've done that
Les
before.
Les has done. Let Dad does the clear coat.
Yeah, I've gotten my...
He's big on clear coat.
I got the clear gel on my toes on accident. I just thought it was just a standard thing you do. They asked me. I was like, yes. And my toes were shiny for 4 months. I mean, it was...
This is after you got all that yellow out, all that nicotine.
Correct. Yeah. No,
nicotine.
It was nicotine
yeah,
stains
nicotine.
On his toenails. Like they smoked. And so she apparently... That was cleaned up, and then you were able to polish with some...
But the nicotine, I think, is back.
No.
I don't know what it is, bro, about my dogs, man. But, I mean, they just really get... they get belligerent.
Is
down
that
there.
Fungus? I think it's fungus.
I think so.
I don't know what it is. I mean, because I'm generally like I take a shower every day.
Yeah,
like
you smell fine.
I try to take care of myself from a hygiene standpoint, but my toenails, man, they grow really fast, and it's just hard to maintain. I think a lot of women would really do a lot of things to have the I don't know what the protein is that makes your nails. Yeah, the keratin. Yeah, they would really do a lot of things to have the keratin that I have.
How fast yours grow?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean it's this is like from the weekend.
Extraordinary.
I think it's a world record. In the time it takes me to grow extremely long toenails.
Oh.
Hope you don't hand that down to DJ.
I've told the story, I think, on the air of like there was this guy on Twitter many years ago. I didn't do it, but he went around asking people he'd pay if you sent videos of you clipping your toenails.
And I mean, that's disgusting.
I'm just saying I would have made a complete killing on that because it would have been extremely satisfying.
There are perverts that are into this stuff.
Yes, it would have been extremely satisfying to see my talons get clipped. You know. I could have made at least, I could have named my price. I wonder where that guy is now, because I could use some extra income.
Apparently, Matt Eberflus was very impressed by Caleb's presence, his interaction with USC, and the nails.
Yeah. Robert Irwin Jewelers, this weekend, Saturday, at the Bartlett location. Everything in the store, 60% off. It's not marked up to mark down. It's 60% off the actual price. It's on display, 60% off. Only one time every few years they do this sale. They did it in South Haven. Nice enough to do it in Bartlett. Good friends at RIJ. Get out there, see it for yourself, and get yourself a deal. I mean, you owe it to yourself. It's RI Jewelers. This is at Bartlett, the Bartlett location, this Saturday, 10 until 4. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Calkins. Thanks to Jessica Benson. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.